Mississippi is still a very rough place. You know, people is not just walking up like they used to do in the past, walking out, you know, shooting a man down or getting maybe 200 or 300 people carrying you out and lynching you, but it's in a more subtle way. You know, they can let you starve to death, not give you jobs. These are some of the things that's happening right now in Mississippi. See, Mississippi is not actually Mississippi's problem. Mississippi is America's problem. Because if America wanted to do something about what has been going on, Mississippi,
already know.
It could have stopped by now.
Yo.
It wouldn't have been in the past.
Hey.
All right. So, so for everybody listening, we just talked about production, and Leah is the A mic.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for coming to Pause for the Cause podcast. This is episode 3. We have things to talk about tonight. I'm Leah, and I'm here with Little Uzi Kurt.
Yo. this is funny. Y'all's the Kurt, a.k.a. Skirtus, a.k.a. Little Uzi Kurt, a.k.a. NBA Old Man. What's popping?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Somebody caught my...
I love the NBA Old Man. For reference, there was a meme that it was like a Snoop Dogg and someone else, and they were like, the meme said, "I aspire to be this level washed."
Yeah.
And I sent it to Curtis, and I said, "This is you in 25 years." And he said, "This is me in a year." So,
yeah.
NBA old man.
I'm to that point, you know. Anytime you get out of bed and you're like, yeah, you already know.
Oh my goodness.
What's up, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
A lot going on. Things are busy.
Yeah. Plenty of stuff going on, most definitely.
Always things going on in the world. We moved my little sister into college yesterday, so that's so weird. Just so weird. I feel so old.
Anything exciting going on with you that you want to share? Because I know some stuff, but you can keep it in the cup. You know.
I think we're going to save the announcement for the next episode.
Yeah.
I have some pictures and, you know.
Yeah.
Things in place. But yeah, there are exciting things going on. Life is happening. Life is moving. Despite the pandemic and everything else. So we're very grateful.
Very grateful. For sure. Cool.
So, there's so much we could talk about, because I think we always like talk about pop culture. And last episode we talked about Megan Thee Stallion, and it's so good to see her healed. And she seems like she's in a decent headspace, or at least that's what she's presenting to the public. But her and Cardi B put out a new song called
Worship and Praise.
Worship and Praise. And like white conservatives lost their mind. Honestly, and like black people over 45 lost their mind too, especially like Christian black folks. But
I think those two groups, but I saw a lot of young, like, hip-hop heads and, like, men kind of lose their mind, too. Like, I was listening to a podcast, and a guy was talking about how there's no art in this, and it's real perverted, and he just never heard anything like that. And, like, the guy who said it was, like, 30. And I know CeeLo was like, oh, hip-hop had been good since the 70s. And I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. getting into policing and everything. But yeah, a lot of people lost their mind. I like the song, though. I'm cool with it.
I thought it was good. I didn't understand the Kylie cameo, like, on the video. But, I mean, I thought it was... The song was good.
You know, Yeah, I don't know if Meg is healed. I don't know if she's healed either. I don't know if I would be. But what I'm thinking with that, like if I'm trying to get my video exposure and everything, why not put the second most popular Kardashian in there to like boost streams and make people watch it and make it be like salacious and all of that? I wouldn't have put it in there, but I mean, if it's for business, I mean, she was just real. It was really random, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. Have you learned the dances in the video?
No, I have not learned the dances.
Hey, yo. Hold up. Rest in peace to Antoine Ronnie Shumpert. And
arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor. All of y'all who think we need more evidence, you goofy. I said arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor. That's right. And Elijah McClain too. Y'all hold that boy. Arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor. All of y'all who think we need more evidence, you goofy. I said arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor. That's right. You catch the vibe? Now get off.
Mia Davis cannot dance like that. Like, I aspire to be that level of dancer, but no, it's just me. Around my house. Like, I cannot dance like that. And there was a video of like pregnant women like doing the dance. And yeah. I was just like, how are you able to move your body like that when you're pregnant? I can't even move my body like that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not pregnant. Like, I just, oof, wow.
I mean, you know, the body is amazing, and the body or the female body is just even more amazing and what it can do, especially during birth. So yeah, and you know, they encourage everyone to get exercise, and that is a form of mm-hmm. exercise, most definitely. There's a gross fact that I learned about like pregnant women and breast milk, but I'm gonna keep it to myself. It ain't gross to me. I think it's cool, but anyway.
I think the song, it just like how the world like reacted to it, and especially how like men reacted to it. It was just like really, really, it was just really, really interesting, because honestly, those level of lyrics, like the level of vulgarity, quote unquote, and it's nothing new, even from women. Like, it's nothing new. Like, they've always been very like sexual lyrics coming from female rappers. I mean, the rapper Cupcake, that woman is dirty in a good way. Like she's bad. She's amazing. I tweeted the other week that I would love for her and Megan Thee Stallion to do a collab.
Yeah.
She's so cool.
Cupcake. See, you gonna make me like show my age, because I am just a little bit older. So like, I don't know, like Kaya, Trina, Lil' Kim, Foxy, do these names like ring any bells?
Yeah, they ring a bell to me. Cupcake, she's been around for about like, she's at least like 5 years, at least. At least. She's cool.
Yeah.
Like, she's very like gangster rap. She's very like explicit with her sexuality, and the girl can rap. Like, she's really good.
Clearly, I'm about to bleep out what I'm about to say, but was she like Lil' Kim, and did she want you to quote her until she?
Yeah. She's on that level. She's on that level.
Man, I'm here.
I mean, like, even like Meg before this, like she said sexually explicit lyrics. Like Missy Elliott has always talked about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce has been very sexual in the past. Like, I don't get with this newfound like. Wow, women are talking about.
I don't
get where this whole like reaction is coming from.
Yeah, I don't know if I've shared this like publicly, but I know we can't choose, but I'm gonna be grateful for whatever, but or whoever. But I if I had a choice, I would want daughters. And I'm thinking about like how I would like raise them and things like that in like 2020 and beyond, and what kind of content I would introduce them to, because I listen to rap and I wouldn't be, I'm not mad if they hear this, but it's whatever. I might be a bit different. So anyway, so you have replaced Worship and Praise with all of your Big Crit songs. Yes.
I love Big Crit. Yeah. I mean, like, the man is, like, dedicated. He loves Mississippi. He's beautiful. He's just absolutely just freaking beautiful. And he's just, he's up there. Like, he's definitely, like, one of the best, like, lyricists. Yeah. And he just is, his art is just amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So keeping in the theme, Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel okay about it, honestly. I'm in support of, you know, a person of color, particularly a black person, getting into an office, any office, but especially one that high. I teeter on this just because, you know, she is kinfolk, but I've said this before, not all kinfolk are kinfolk. I do think that she, along with Biden, are just much better candidates than the current president and vice president. For me, I pay attention not only to who the president is, who the president-elect is, and vice president. I pay attention to who else is around them. Like, with Trump, it's him. And then, like, for instance, if I ask you what's Melania?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What's her program?
Do we know? Didn't she like have something about bullying in the past?
But you never hear about it. You never hear from Pence. And these are very powerful positions. And there's a movie. I can't think of the guy's name, but he played Dick Cheney. And we learn how powerful vice presidents can be. And I like it. I'm excited for it. And I'm able to separate Kamala's like policy history and her approach from what she may do. I know there is a lot of uproar and concern about her past, but at this point, you know, I'm more concerned with what she can do in the office. And again, at this point, it's almost like the lesser of two evils. And I don't mean to call her evil, but I can't think anything else. So I have concerns about Joe Biden. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. What about you?
I mean, I think I don't see an issue. I don't necessarily see just a huge difference between like Joe and Trump, honestly, because
yeah,
Joe doesn't have like a good record. Like we all know that. And some of these out of pocket things he's been saying lately about black people and in reference to the black community, it's kind of like, I bring this up because like there's been so much like nuance in politics and like people who bring up the topic of nuance and like actually elect, you know, honest, good people, like especially in this two-party system, like they're very ostracize and, you know, the whole like no vote at all is a vote for Trump or third vote, you know, third party votes vote for Trump. And I don't like how this whole objective is we have to get Trump out of office. And then we'll figure out the rest later, because we've noticed in the past that like whenever we have that one single-handedly goal to like take control back to reinforce this whole two-party system, like nothing really gets done. What, like, once those people are elected, like, you don't see progress made. And I think if Joe wins, I don't think we're going to see any, and with Kamala being a prosecutor, I don't think we're going to really see any positive change towards like prison reform or anything.
Yeah.
Just what all the uprisings have been about. And I see them doing all their time undoing and doing rollbacks on what Trump has done. Mm-hmm. And so I can't, there's been just so much damage done through the White House and with this pandemic not being handled correctly. I don't know how much progress they'll be able to make because they're just trying to get us back to like status quo level. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're really trying to improve the lives of like working and middle class Americans.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, two things that I'm thinking about, too, that I hope that we do as, you know, voters and young voters and as a community. Well, two things I'm thinking about. One, I just worry about her in general because the country hasn't been kind to Black women. You know, we know this for a fact. And the country has not been kind to Black women during political shifts or political movements, you know, the Shirley Chisholms, the Stacey Abrams, the Michelle Obamas, or the Michelle Obama singular, like the country hasn't been kind to them. And we, as you know, in our community have not often been kind to Black women who are in these political positions. I think, and I watch what goes on. I was in New Orleans during the last mayoral election, and there were two Black women who were going up against each other. When I realized that there were color politics at play and origination politics, like, hey, this candidate is from here. Oh, this candidate isn't. And even now that Mayor Cantrell is in office, you know, people pick her apart, as they should. But sometimes I'm like, ooh, y'all got a lot of energy for a person who look like your mom, man. And, you know, please be easy, because I look at movements and political shifts as a collective effort. So the second thing I was going to say was that I just hope with this that we focus not only on the two presidential candidates, but also we really pay attention to and put pressure on who is in these cabinets. Like I was fearful when Betsy DeVos got into the education department, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, some of her politics have trickled down today to why so many students are on campus when they probably shouldn't be. Or I can't even think of the nut dude name who's over the housing development, Ben Carson. You know, these people are in positions where they shouldn't be, or the postmaster general right now. Like, it is going to take a huge overhaul. And I think that I trust that Kamala and Joe have, you know, some decency and the knowledge to really get in there and overhaul their cabinet. The last time I checked, you know, Trump, his cabinet wasn't even full. There were vacancies and everything. And
he rotates like every 6 months.
And a danger too. And then I'd be quiet. What a lot of people don't know, and I teach this in forensic social work when we talk about the federal courts, Trump has appointed like more federal judges to lifelong judgeships than almost any other like president, and all of the judges are either unqualified or have experienced some type of malfeasance or had bar complaints. Like, they are grossly like incompetent and shouldn't be on the bench. But we're not talking about, you know, state court. We're talking about like a few levels before like the Supreme Court. Like, they are up there, they're there for life. So it's going to be a tall task for them, and I just hope that they're prepared for it. But with all that said, I still think he got to go, but you know, we shall see. Let's see. Are you gonna vote?
I'm gonna vote. I mean, I think, well, I think we all were kind of caught in this whole like, are we gonna protest? Are we gonna like protest? Well, like, are we gonna vote or not? Because you know, it's just, I'm just not comfortable. I just don't have a good feeling about this election at all. And there's a lot riding on this election period, especially for Mississippi with Mike Espy. And I have some friends who are starting this Young Black Voters initiative and, you know, trying to get young Black people out to vote. But then also we know, like, voter suppression en masse is occurring, especially in the rural South. Mississippi also has a chance to elect a, I think, Supreme Court justice for the state. I can't remember her name, but there's a Black female on the, a Black woman on the ticket. So, I mean, there's just, there's a lot riding on this election, and it's just like, it, it's so polarized and in the midst of like a pandemic, like so many issues are on the table. But yeah, I'm going to vote. It's just like, we shouldn't have been put in this position of like, well, how do we keep people accountable? Because anybody that you elect in office, like, you have to keep them accountable. You can put your best friend, who's probably the most radical politician, in office, and you're still gonna have to keep them accountable.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what do you do? Like, we're at that point, like, what do you do? And we need to start looking beyond November 3rd, or whatever day it is, one of those days.
Yeah,
you start looking beyond that.
Yeah. I think it was Diddy who caught some backlash because he was like, hey, you know, I don't know who he was talking to. It might have been Joe Biden, but he was like, hey, if you don't do this and do that, I'm going to, you know, we're going to hold our vote. And people got pissed off because they were like, fam, our ancestors and people who are still alive got like, they experienced a lot of subjugation and racism to earn that right to vote. And it's interesting talking to older people. Like, my grandma was born in 1940. So she remembers, you know, MLK's assassination and everything. And she lived through Reagan. And, you know, Reagan in Reaganomics used the same slogan as Make America Great Again. Trump ain't original. But in that, you know, it's kind of empowering and insightful to like listen to her because she still has some hope, like talking to her about some things, like she still has hope. So there's a generation of older people who really get out there and do it. And I feel a responsibility to do it as well. And, you know, while we're talking about it, for those listening, I'm sure you've heard this, but I just can't reiterate enough how important it is to not only vote for your local, I mean, for your federal and national ballots, cast those ballots, but to cast local ballots as well. I have a constant huge worry and disdain for localized politics and county level politics, because for Mississippi, there's an antiquated good old boy system. And, you know, I don't know if you will share this experience, but anyone who serves as an elected official, we have to watch them because they affect things at a localized level, and it affects us relatively quickly. So if y'all are interested in getting those Confederate statues removed, but you got seven people on that board who don't need to be there, they need to you know, go and get out. So it's important, and more importantly with this election, I'm really, really paying attention to who these names are on this ballot, and I'm paying attention to all these flag designs. Everybody's designing these flags with the rivers and shit. And I'm like, man, y'all gonna have to convince me some more, bro. I ain't buying that.
I said at the beginning of this whole thing that I don't care what the flag is. I said I was not going to support it unless it was designed by a Black Mississippian.
And I can't tell who's designed it.
I know, and I can't tell who designed it. I know Black people who submitted their designs, but like among all those options was just really hard. I know that Great River.
Yep, that's the one that's getting some push, you know.
It's amazing. I think a white man designed that. And the marketing and rebranding of it, I think it's wonderful. Don't get me wrong, but it's just like, after all that has happened this summer of like, we've had these whole conversations, people have spent boo-koodles and boo-koodles of money trying to like divest from the centrality of white people. I just don't know how hard it is for me to say like a Black Mississippian should design that flag. And then they put like only one Black person on the commission. So I don't care. And honestly, my friend Dr. Susan Glisson and I wrote a piece in the Clarion Ledger, which is a local which is a statewide newspaper in Mississippi. And we talked about it, like anything we fly, but we still have all these statues standing.
Right.
We have not handled this pandemic correctly. We have so many Black and Brown people and Black and Brown children who don't have running water in Mississippi, yeah. who don't have food access in Mississippi. I don't care what we fly, because it doesn't matter, because we still have a whole bunch of things to deal with.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah, and for context, because I know there are some people listening who don't live in Mississippi, the state, there's a ballot, or you can cast your vote to change the former state flag. The old flag had Confederate iconography or symbolism, and it was the only one in the country that, I think Georgia's is problematic too, but ours was just a big ass, like, it was damn near the Confederate flag. So we decided to get that out of there. And, you know, part of it, I believe part of it is a bit performative. People have been asking about this for years, but it's no different than like the Washington football team and all this stuff. So I'm glad it's gone, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
You know. So how's wedding planning?
Yo, wedding planning is good. it's good, but it can be a bit tiring, but it becomes rewarding, and you know, you have to do your best to kind of cater to other you. I entertain a lot of people's requests and things, and I just put them in the back of my head, and then I'm learning. I put them in my head to forget, but and then I'm like learning about like gender norms and everything. Some of them are so funny because I'm really active. I've been really active. We don't have a wedding planner, but because of my work schedule and everything, I can kind of bounce around and do tasks. So people are surprised when, you know, I'm the one calling trying to get quotes and everything. It had been like that for a while. And then like, like I'll notice with her, like she'll like get with her friends and they'll send pictures of each other's dresses and all of this. And like one of my groomsmen, he got his tux, and you know, he was trying it on, and I wanted to be like, hey bro, you know, take a couple pictures, let me see you in it. But I was like, you know what, I don't know. Well, like, you know, strike, let me see that. But I didn't do it. But I was like, how come I can't ask my guy to send me a picture in his tux? So it's weird, you know. And it doesn't even have to be. So it's cool though. But I was, because I was about to text it, and I was like, oh well, okay, I'm leaving.
Well, I mean, for practical reasons, you do kind of need to see what the tux looks like, because you don't want anybody showing up looking crazy,
fam. And I agree with that.
I mean, we can't have anybody looking crazy.
Well, I agree with that too, because the people, like, I'm asking everyone to wear bow ties, and not everybody can tie bow ties. So I'm like, man, you know how the youngs do it. They'll show up with the bow tie around the neck and it's not tied. I'm like, boy, tie the bow tie, fam. All you're doing is showing the world that you don't know how to tie. Like, it's not fly.
Look, it's like, what, like 70 days, 75, something like that. Like, yeah. They have time.
81.
Like, 81. Watch some YouTube videos. They got time. Okay.
That's how I learned. I didn't grow up with, you know, a man or a father in the house, and my mom and grandma didn't know how to do it. So I literally got on this YouTube account. There's this old British white man called Offshore Boatman, and I learned how to tie all my ties. Kid you not. That's how I learned how to tie my ties. So I don't know where Offshore Boatman is, but he helped me. So, haha, there you go.
You know, that's something I never thought about, like men not sending each other pictures, because that's just something that, like, we as women do. Like, it's so home decor. Like, I'm constantly like taking pictures and sending it to my girlfriends, like, what do you think, what do you not think. I even send it to my dad to see if it's something like he can like recreate, because he's so handy and he does carpentry work. So like, I just never thought about that until you brought it up the other day. Like,
yeah, you know, it's cool though. And I'll eventually just ask him to send it to me anyway. I don't care. But it don't mean, I don't know why I hesitated. Like mine is, it's a traditional wedding, but it isn't. Like I have a groom's woman, so I don't know why. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool though. It's cool. I'm excited for you to be there. We're taking safety precautions, sending out emails like we the World Health Organization. So it's all good.
I'm so excited. Yeah. And it's just such a happy time to like,
yeah,
watch you happy and she's happy and I get to be there, which is not about me at all, but you know, I'm very excited. It's always good to see like families come together and especially now. It's just
we're excited. I know she is. I am. Her family is, so you know, my grandma and my mom, they got their dresses and everything. They're ready. It feels like they're in grade school when you like lay your clothes out on the bed. Like they have, like fam. I mean, we got like 75 days, my G, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and I think I've been to one wedding. I went to a wedding about a month ago. Because I was singing in the wedding, but they really scaled it back. So small wedding, like only like 50 people, including the bridal party.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They really tried to make it safe and everything. But I think any wedding, especially now, like in November, which we don't know if all this will be over by then, but you know, it's a big event. Weddings are always just such big events. So it's going to be interesting.
You know, we were, even pre-COVID, we were anticipating and preparing for like hurricanes because it's hurricane season. It's like peak hurricane season. So, so we'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you won't get blown away. So, anyway.
So school starts next week?
School is this week? Session. I had class today.
Oh.
Yep.
Ooh.
I had class today. I feel so bad too because in one class it's all online. So that creates a dynamic and the students are excited to see each other because we operate on a cohort model and people haven't seen each other, so they're excited. But in one particular class, I have a sign language person. Someone who does sign language to help accommodate a student. And there's like people in the class like, oh, you know, girl, it's so good to see you. What you doing? And literally as soon as you cut on Zoom, the sign, the translator starts doing her thing. And she's like just going crazy because she's trying to keep up with everything. I'm like, y'all, like, please really read the Zoom room and pay attention to... pay attention to these two. Like there were two of them. There were two interpreters and they were working like back to back. Like when one got tired, the other one jumped in. And I was like, damn, I ain't never seen this, but it is interesting. And what's also interesting too, is how many people are pissed off that it is this way. And they're like, well, you know, if we need to meet, then can we meet in person? And I'm like, not really, but
I will not be there, but y'all have
I had one student who was like, you know, I don't really do that social distancing thing, you know, the way I see it, if it's my time, it's my time and that's it. I'm like, well, I am a black man and thankfully I don't have any pre-existing health conditions, but I'm not finna risk that fooling with you, so I was about to ask if class started for you, but I forgot you are done.
Done. Graduated. It's so weird. I don't have like, it's just so weird. So weird. First time in 16 years, I'm not preparing for school and buying notebooks and checking syllabus and everything. Syllabi. Yeah. All that. But my sister is.
Yeah.
Where Ole Miss is hybrid, so she's doing some stuff online and some stuff in person. And honestly, I just don't know how that's going to go, especially at Ole Miss. Like, everyone's out on the square, not wearing a mask. No one's wearing a mask around campus. They're just wearing it, like, when they have to, which is stupid. And we saw like UNC Chapel Hill send all their people home after a week. So like, I don't know how this is going to go. I really don't.
Yeah. My aunt teaches public school, K through 12. And she was telling me about all their stipulations. And it's just, I'm like, man, if y'all got to do all this, you might as well stay at the crib. But it's
send them home. And I understand the decisions. Like, I have friends who are educators and who are in like education administration, but like at some point, like, we just, like, nothing is normal. And it is this way because we've had incompetent national and statewide leadership. So it's just kind of like what we just kind of have to face it, that, like, nothing is normal. And honestly, safety should be the main concern. Yeah. You know, do they really have to like learn everything that they did?
Yeah.
While they were in person, like, make things easier? I don't know. I'm not an educator. I don't know what those objectives and benchmarks are, but like, something has to adapt.
There are issues of equity and access as well. I have students now who are adults. Most of my students are older than me, too, who they either don't know how to work Zoom or they're at home. They're sharing that space with other people who need the internet. They don't have the best equipment because we're still in Mississippi. A lot of the students have limited resources. So it makes it difficult. We're not talking about people who have access to powerful computers and high-speed internet. We're talking about some people that live in rural Mississippi. One student said a name today of a town. I was like, man, I have never heard of that. And I've lived in Mississippi for 27 of 29 years. So, yeah, I worry about that a lot. And I worry about realistic expectations. Like, I have a student who has a parrot. She brings a parrot to class. Another student smokes cigarettes. Another student lays in the bed. One student cook breakfast while on the call, and I'm like, hey, I'm not gonna be like, yo, stop that, man, fuck you don't pay my rent. I'm not finna do that. And then two, the last thing I'll say is two, I just worry about reasonable expectations, because all the student has to do is be like, yo, I lost my internet, and completely sign out. So I don't know.
She brings her bird to class.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
So here's the thing with that. Again, you say but here's the thing. If we're talking about having an equitable space and accommodations, I believe that this bird is a support bird, and the student has filed an accommodation to have the bird, and Lil Uzi Kurt is not about to get in trouble or get fired to tell the student.
Don't bring your bird to class. So
you can bring the bird. The bird doesn't talk. It's just a bird on the screen. And it's,
that's really funny.
Yeah, school started, to say the least.
It's really funny.
I'm doing my best not to turn into one of those professors that says, I don't really care if you show up or not, I still get paid. Because I hate hearing that, but I'm like, look, man. You, all right, bet.
That is too cool.
Anyway. So, yeah.
So, what are we pausing for today?
Oh gosh. So I don't know if this is a cause. It maybe should be. It's also an experience. So I'm pausing and giving a shout out to the cause that is caring for older relatives, and particularly caring for like your parents. I'm experiencing some personal things where the level of care and the type of care has shifted. No longer am I the child who gets cared for. I'm sort of leading the way and doing the caring and handling the business for like some people in my family, and just looking out for them and really just trying to protect them and nurture them. And it's time consuming. It's energy consuming, and it's something that I didn't
think about until I'm actually doing it. And I have a lot of friends who care for their family members, and the family members I'm talking about are healthy. They have their health. You know, there are no physical disabilities or anything like that. But I am pausing for that cause and just sending, you know, thoughts and good vibes and good energy to people who are out there caring for their loved ones and particularly their family, because I'm just one of those people that believes that a person is once a man, once an adult, twice a child. And in that, just keeping that in mind and honoring my parents and people older than me. I believe in deference a lot. So that's me. That's my cause.
Yeah. My dad's oldest sister, my aunt, she fell ill a few weeks ago. And so it's definitely made some shift changes in our family dynamic, because she doesn't have any children. And so, you know, figuring out, you know, how to make sure that she has a good quality of life and trying to get her back to a good place. So it's definitely something that, you know, like we don't like to think about, but it's something that all comes at some point.
Yeah.
I am pausing for all the educators, all the students who are back in school right now, whether in person or online, because things are just, they're just so different this year, so different. And their families, you know, none of us like wants the worst to happen, but I think that's always something that's like on our mind right now. Like so much fear, so much panic.
Yeah.
So that is what I'm pausing for.
Yeah. We're going to stick it out. We'll see. I think that honestly, you know, we should do a recap in a year, and when things have dissipated and everybody is sort of healed and gotten better, we should talk about how things change, because I'm not going to hug the same after this. I'm not going to shake hands the same. So there's a lot that's going to be different. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised you're pausing for the cause wasn't for people to like wash their bed, wash their towels, their bath towels.
That's this thing. And this is how I grew up, and this is how my mom was raised. For people who are listening, and Curtis knows this about me, I'm very anal about like my towels.
Yeah.
And how my kitchen is clean. So like I use a different towel, washcloth and drying towel every time I take a shower. And some people in my family, I mean, my aunts chew me up about it, but that's just how I was raised, and that's how my mom was raised.
Yeah.
And that's how my dad was practically raised too. So it's just something that I haven't broke. And the one thing that people always ask me, like when they tell me about that, they're like, well, what about your electricity bill? Like, how do you wash all that laundry? And I'm like, my electricity bill really isn't any different than if it was. I mean, like, yeah. So I'm very particular about my laundry, very particular about all of that. So, yes.
Oh, no. those out there, wash your towels or Leah is going to get you.
Well, I know when people come to my house, they'll have a fresh towel.
Yeah.
Fresh towels, most definitely.
For sure. All right, cool. You good?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you everyone for listening and for humoring us for these last 3 episodes. It's been fun. This has been so much fun and such a good outlet for both of us. And we hope we bring something to the table.
Yeah.
America wanted to do something about what has been going on, Mississippi, it could have stopped by now. It wouldn't have been in the past few years, between 40 and 50 churches bombed and burned. See, and this leads me to say, you know, all of the burning and bombing that was done to us and the houses, nobody never said too much about that, and nothing was done. But let something be burned, you know, by a black man, and then, my God, you know. You see, the flag is drenched with our blood, because, you see, so many of our ancestors was killed because
We have never accepted slavery. We had to live on it, but we've never wanted it. So we know that this flag is drenched with our blood. So what the young people are saying now, give us a chance to be young men respected as a man. As we know, this country was built on the black backs of black people across this country. And if we don't have it, you ain't gonna have it either, because we gonna tear it up. That's what they're saying. And people ought to understand that. I don't see why they don't understand it. They know what they've done to us. All across this country, they know what they've done to us. This country is desperately sick, and man is on the critical list. I really don't know where we go from here.